In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, good morning. I like it. Merry Christmas. My name is Reed. I'm the lead pastor here. And what we just saw and read there together is the Christmas story, right? The story of the birth of Jesus, a story of good news that brings great joy for all the people. And it's that story that we've gathered to remember and to celebrate and to give thanks for today. And now I recognize that in a room this size and in rooms these size, so welcome those of you that are in additional seating, in rooms this size that some of us have gathered to celebrate that story. And then though there are some of us who are here this morning and you're here because you have to be, right? Or maybe you feel like you have to be, or maybe you're here because it's tradition and you feel like it's just like what we're supposed to do. Right? As a matter of fact, I remember last year, we were finishing up our Christmas services, and there was a gentleman, and I hope he's here, by the way, and he says, "Pastor, great service. See you next year." And and my staff, I told my staff about this. They encouraged me. They were like, "Maybe he meant January. It's a new year, you know?" I was like, it didn't feel that way. It felt like he meant, "I'll see you in literally 1 year from now." And so I was like, man, right? Like, and so I recognize, right? There are some of us, it's tradition. And so we're here because we kind of feel like we're supposed to be here and we're just checking the box. Others of us, we're here today because, you know, our parents put the pressure on us and it just really wasn't worth the fight. And so here we are and we're, you know, we got dressed and we're in the room. Others of us, it was, you know, what got us here was grandma with the guilt trip. And she's gotten really good at it over the years. And so you're like, all right, fine, we'll go. You know, for others of us, you're here today. And it's because, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your spouse like made the ultimatum. Like, we are going to church and you're going to like it. And you're like, yes, ma'am. And so for some of you, that's the reason why, you know, you're here. For others of us, you know, a friend invited us. And that's amazing. And you could see how much it meant to them that you would come along. And so, you know, like they mean a lot to you and this means a lot to them. And so you're glad to be here, but you're here for them, right? Listen, regardless of why you're here, I don't know why you showed up here to Gwinnett Church this Christmas, but regardless of why you're here, I just want you to know I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. And it's been my prayer leading up to today that you would experience the light and the love of Jesus in your life and the love and the hope that's available to you because Jesus was born. And that's good news because we could all use a little more hope, couldn't we? All of us could use a little more hope. I think that's why of all the gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus, I think that's why I like John's account the most. Now, if you're not familiar with the gospels, there are four gospels, which are simply the accounts of the life of Jesus. They're written by either people who spent time personally with Jesus or people who spent time with people that spent time with Jesus personally, right? There are four of these accounts of the life of Jesus in the New Testament of your Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of them tells the story of the life of Jesus in their own way to different audiences. And so each of them has a different feel or style to it, but and each one covers the Christmas story in a different way. In Matthew and Luke, they give us the details of the events, right? As we just read, right? In Matthew and Luke, we get the traditional Christmas stories, and there's mangers, and there's shepherds, and there's angels, and there's wise men, and there's the star, and Mary and Joseph, and there's no room at the inn, and all that stuff, right? Like those are included in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Mark is a shorter gospel. It's the gospel of action. And so Mark like does not have time for baby Jesus. Mark just starts you off, if you're reading it, Mark just starts you off 30 years old, bearded, Birkenstock wearing Jesus. You know what I mean? Like that's where Mark is at. And so Mark just kind of references the fact that there was a Messiah that was promised. And then Mark just, boom, he's into the life of Jesus and ministry. And he kind of just covers adult Jesus. But John takes a different approach. John, when he is writing his gospel and he thinks about the birth of Jesus, rather than getting bogged down in the details, John is less concerned with what happened around the birth of Jesus, and he's more concerned with why it happened. John focuses on the meaning of Christmas for you and for me, and he highlights the hope that we have because of the birth of Jesus, because of his arrival. And so I want to show you this morning what it is that John says concerning the birth of Jesus. This is in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. This is what John writes. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And when he says the Word, there's a Greek word that's used there that's called logos, and it's just a title that was given to Jesus. And the idea there is just simply that Jesus is the embodiment of all the words of God. Everything God said, Jesus did, and so they would call him after his death and resurrection, they would call him the Word of God. He's the embodiment of all the Word of God, right? And so that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. And he says, "He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now you gotta imagine when John sits down to pen his gospel, his account of the life of Jesus. John, most scholars believe, was an older man at this time, probably somewhere in his 80s when he decides to compose his gospel. And as an older man, he's looking at his life and he's realizing that he probably doesn't have that much time left on the clock. And so he wants to make sure that future generations hear about the story and the life of Jesus and what the life of Jesus means for their life here and now and forever. And so John sits down to compose his account of the life of Jesus, and he's gonna talk a lot about what Jesus's life means for our life. And so he's thinking about the beginning and the arrival or the birth of Jesus. And as he's sitting down and he's thinking, he's thinking about how to convey it to us. And he says, "Well, in the beginning, there's the Word, and the Word's with God, and the Word was God." And he's like, he wants us to know something about Jesus right off the bat. That the arrival of Jesus is so much more than just the birth of a first century celebrity, that it's so much more than just the birthday of a historical figure. He wants us to know that Jesus is the embodiment of God's words, that Jesus actually is God. That Jesus is God in a body, that he was more than just a good prophet. He was more than just a good preacher. He was more than just a good rabbi. He was more than just a religious guru. Like, Jesus is God in a bod, right? Like, he is God in human form. And so if you are curious about what God is like, if you wonder who God likes or how God feels about you, John would say, look no further. All you've got to do is look at Jesus. He is the embodiment of all that God says and does. He is God in human form. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. You're not going to get a better picture. If you want to know who God likes and how God feels about you, just look at Jesus. He's the perfect picture for us. John says, so Jesus comes and he shows us what God is like. And he says, now in him, John would say, in him is life. And when he says that, he's not referring to physical life, because in order to read his gospel, you have to be alive. And so he says, like, right, in him is life. And he's not talking about physical life, because they would have already had physical life, those that are reading it. He's talking about a new and different kind of life. A spiritual life, a way of life that is full, that is authentic, that has purpose, that has meaning, that is lasting. He's talking about a kind of life, a way of life that is characterized by love and peace and joy and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He's talking about a way of life that is characterized by hope. He says, in him is this life, a new and different kind of life. And he says that life is actually the light. It's a beacon of light and hope for all mankind, for all of humanity. You know, Jesus, he came for everybody. And I feel like I need to repeat that and just remind us today. Jesus came for everybody. Christians in the room, sometimes, God help us, we forget that. And we think that Jesus only came for the buttoned up, cleaned up, churched up versions of us. Jesus came for all of us. And some of you in here today, I'll apologize for this. You have heard from Christians or from people that do what I do, that Jesus didn't come for people like you because of something that you did or something that you said or because of who you are or decisions you've made or where you're from. You've heard that Jesus didn't come for you. But John says, no. Jesus came and he came to bring life. And that life was meant for all mankind, for all of humanity, for the best of us and for the worst of us. For the seekers and for the skeptics and for the cynics. For those of us that feel like we've got it all figured out and those of us who know we're just trying to figure it out. For all of us. For the young and for the old. For the singles and the marrieds and the divorced. For those that are separated and those that have been widowed. Jesus came for all of us. For those of us that feel hopeless and for those of us that feel hopeful, for those of us excited to celebrate Christmas today, and those of us that feel like we are barely making it through this season, Jesus came for all of us to give us life. And John would say, to light up our darkness, which is really good news, you guys, because you know this, the world can be a dark place, can't it? I mean, you just look back at the year we just had, continue to have. You see, political turmoil and division. You see natural disasters and school shootings, and you see war and conflict, and there is fear, and there is hurt, and there is hate. The world can be a dark place. And not just the world, right? But our world, your world, personally, can feel pretty dark at times, can it? For some of you, this year maybe was the darkest, coldest year you've ever been through. For some of you, you walked through joblessness. You lost your job, facing financial insecurity, feeling fear and uncertainty about what the future holds, and your world got dark. For some of you, you walked through this year some relational trouble. You faced rejection. You faced hurt. Somebody broke your trust. They were supposed to be there for you and to have your back, and they didn't show up, and they let you down, and they broke your heart, and your world got dark. For some of you this year, you walked through a difficult divorce. And when you said, I do, you thought that meant forever. And now that whole thing imploded. And when it happened, your world got dark. For some of you, you walked through this year one of the most difficult bouts of depression that you've ever faced, and your world got dark. For some of you, you're battling through addiction, whether it's you or in your family, and your world got really dark. For some of you, you had to walk through the darkness of grief over the loss of a loved one. And they should be here. But now this year, there's gonna be an empty seat at the table. And your world got dark. For some of you, you faced a difficult diagnosis this year. And the doctor walked in and he said the word cancer, and your world got dark. The world can be a dark place, a difficult place. Our world can feel dark at times. And John, you guys, he understood this intimately. John understood this intimately. He understood how dark the world could be. As a matter of fact, when John penned these words about what Jesus means for you and for me, about what the birth of Jesus means for all of us, when he penned these words, his world was a dark place. There was political turmoil, there was social division, there was injustice, there was poverty, there was persecution all over the place, and not just in the world at the time, but in John's world. John had faced himself. He had faced persecution, imprisonment, torture. He had watched his friends face persecution, imprisonment, and torture. And as a matter of fact, he'd watched many of his friends, if not most of his closest friends, executed because of their belief in Jesus, including John's own brother. John knew how dark the world could be. And yet, John also knew Jesus. And he knew the hope and the life and the light that Jesus brings. And so John says about the birth of Jesus that while the world can be a dark place, into our darkness, a light has shone, and the darkness has not, cannot, will not ever overcome it. John tells us Jesus's birth is like light entering our darkness. Now, let me just be clear. When we talk about this, sometimes there's this tendency to believe that when John says Jesus is the light of the world, that if you just put your faith in Jesus, all your problems go away, right? The light. That's not what John is saying here. It's not what John is saying. John is not saying that if you put your trust in Jesus, all your problems go away. He's the light of the world. Yippee. It's not what he's saying. The presence of light is not the absence of problems. A way that we could think about this to illustrate this, what John is talking about when he says that Jesus is the light of the world and the hope that that brings, a way that we could think about this is maybe like this. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and the room is dark? And you're in this dark room and you get up and maybe you're gonna go check on the kids, you know, your spouse nudged you, it's your turn. Maybe you just gotta get a sip of water. Maybe use the restroom. And you get up and maybe you're just too tired to grab your phone or to grab a light, or maybe you're just trying to be considerate. You don't wanna wake anybody else up. And so you kind of grope your way through the darkness only to realize that you'd forgotten to put those shoes away. Or you creep into your kid's room silently trying to take a look and make sure that the blanket isn't wrapped around their head. And so you're going in there only to realize that they had been playing with Legos all day. The dreaded Lego. And you say something that no Christian should say, but they're asleep, so it's okay. Or you're sneaking past the front of the bed only to stub your toe, the pinky toe, of course, the one you forgot you had until that very moment. And what you hit it on was your spouse's suitcase that they still haven't put away for 2 weeks now since your vacation. I'm not bitter. If you've ever done that and you had to grope your way through the darkness and try to find your way, right? Then you probably learned the lesson that the next time you get up and in that dark room, even though you risk waking someone else up, it's a good idea probably just to turn on a little light, right? And you probably don't light a candle unless you're 1,100 years old. Chances are you grab a cell phone or you click on a lamp, but we're using the candle because that's what John had in mind when he penned his gospel. There's no electricity back then. John had in mind a light, like a candle light. But you turn on that light and you guys know this. When you turn the light on in a dark room, it does not put the shoes away, does it? The light doesn't put your shoes away. The light doesn't pick up your kids' Legos. The light doesn't move your spouse's suitcase. It doesn't pick up the pile of clothes that are still unfolded sitting in the middle of your bedroom. It doesn't clean your mess up. That's not what the light does. The light helps you navigate the problems in a way that you could not before. The light offers you perspective. The light brings clarity. It illuminates and exposes where the problems are, and it helps you to navigate so that you don't stumble and fall, so that you can see your way through. And John says, look, into our darkness, light has come. And the light isn't promising to make all your problems go away, but the light that is Jesus has come into the world. And the hope that it brings is the hope that Jesus is illuminating for us the truth of who God is. And what God is like, and the life that he has for us, and the way to navigate anything that life throws at us. This is the hope of Jesus, the light of the world. Not a promise to make all your problems go away, but the presence of one who can lead us and who knows the way. So that we can go through life now with a courage, with a confidence, with a peace, and with a hope that we otherwise would not be able to do. John says, the world can be a dark place, but you don't have to grope around in the darkness alone. A light has come and he knows the way. He knows the way to God. He knows the way to life, and he knows the way to do life with God, and he's available to you. When John talks about the birth of Jesus and what it means for you and for me, he measures it by light entering into darkness. And he says that no matter the darkness, no matter how dark it gets, no matter what life throws at you, this light has not, will not, cannot ever be overcome. Because you guys, when light collides with darkness, light always wins. Do you know why we celebrate the birth of Jesus in late December? I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble here, but December 25th was probably not Jesus's real birthday. It's possible. You've got a 1 in 365 chance. But, right, it's probably not. The reason why we celebrate Jesus's birthday in late December is because of an event the early church was aware of, known as the winter solstice. It happens somewhere in between December 20th and December 25th, late in December, and the winter solstice is known as the darkest and coldest day in the year. And when the early church was thinking about what day should we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the light that has entered the darkness, What better day, they thought, than the coldest, darkest day of the year to remember that into our darkness, a light has shone, and the darkness cannot, will not ever overcome it. And so that's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of year. And today, I just want to remind you, if things feel dark, maybe this year, maybe you've walked through a season, maybe you're in a season right now, and it's the darkest and coldest that it's ever been, I bring you good news of great joy. A light has dawned. A hope has come, and his name is Jesus. And if you would open up your life and you would trust in him, the light of the world will enter in and become the light of your world. And he will not make all your problems go away, but he will bring hope, and he will bring forgiveness, and he will bring grace, and he will bring love, and he will bring clarity, and he will bring truth, and he will offer perspective. And you will know that you are never alone, and you will navigate things in this life with a different confidence, a different courage, a different peace, and a different hope. That is the good news, the message of Christmas. And that is what the birth of that baby all those years ago means for you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have not left us to grope around in the dark on our own, to try to figure things out and find our way on our own. But instead, you have sent us a light, and his name is Jesus. A light to illuminate who you are and what you're like and who you like. A light to illuminate your love and your grace and your forgiveness. A light to illuminate the life that you have for us, and to illuminate the way to live life with you. A light that brings hope, a light that brings peace, a light that brings joy, a light that brings confidence. So thank you for that light. I pray for my friends today, for anyone who's here this morning going through a dark season. I pray that they would remember, that they would cling to the light that is Jesus, our light, the light of the world. Help us to remember that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.